Blog Talk
Good afternoon,
Radio.
Everybody. This is Jack Watt at Jack Watts Live, broadcasting high above Atlanta in the We Believe America Tower in majestic Midtown overlooking the skyline of Buckhead. It is a magnificent day here in Atlanta. We have had rain, which has refreshed the flowers and put the pollen back in its place, which is what we like. All right. I was planning at least to begin, start talking about some developments in Israel, but my radio guest has not been able to show so far. So until we get there, I'm going to talk about a few more things that are current in the news today. To begin with, I want to take a look at the electoral map, the most recent one in the Real Clear Politics, talking about the presidential election, and just see exactly where we are, because this is a momentous time in our nation's history. And it's something that we absolutely need to know what we're doing. And today, the most recent weekly Gallup poll has it a dead heat, 46% favoring Obama, 46% favoring Mitt Romney. Now, these are registered voters, and these are the people who actually are the ones that vote. When you have these political things where they talk about, well, such and such candidate is ahead, you know, in the polls. If they aren't real voters, those who are registered, and even better, likely voters, you can pretty much discount some of the polls, because people that just have opinions but don't do anything to express them are not the ones who are going to decide it. All right. In the last month, this is since Romney cleared up that he was going to be the person that was going to be the presidential nominee for the Republican. It's been a dead heat ever since. Now, the Rasmussen poll is a little different. It has Obama up by 3 percentage points. And there's some other interesting things on this. 51% of the voters in the United States, these are voters, believe that we are likely to go bankrupt. 51%, more than half the people. Now, you've got to be paying a little bit of attention to even know that. If 51% of the people believe that we're going to be going bankrupt, my question is this: how can you support the administration that's in power with that happening? How is that even possible to do in your mind? At bare minimum, wouldn't you want to say, let's give someone else a chance? All right. With that in mind, I want to take a little bit of a look at the electoral map and see exactly where we are. Real Clear Politics map right now has states that are likely to vote for Barack Obama, 243 electoral votes. Now, as we discussed before, you have to have 270 electoral votes to win. Those states likely to vote for Barack Obama that he can consider safe are 243. That's 27 Deliot short of winning. What does that mean? It means that if he picks up the toss-up state of Florida with what he's likely to win right now, he will win a second term. It means, because Florida has 29 electoral votes, that would put him at 272. Now, it also means that if he picks up Ohio and New Hampshire, both of which are considered toss-up state, he's likely to win the presidency of the United States. So a little bit interesting to me as we take a look at these things, to just kind of understand what's going on so that we have a much better idea. Okay, now, states that are likely to go for Romney, 170. But in this map, it has things like leaning for Romney, Georgia, which is 16 electoral votes. That's the state I live in. And I can tell you right now that there is no chance in the world that Barack Hussein Obama is going to win the state of Georgia. It also has South Carolina as just leaning for Romney. And my guess is that it will go by a rather substantial plurality. The toss-up states are 125 electoral votes. Now, let me tell you what they are. Florida, 29. North Carolina, 15. Virginia, 13. New Hampshire, 4. Ohio, 18. Wisconsin, 10. Iowa, 6. Missouri, 10, Colorado, 9, Arizona, 11. Now, let me just say this. If all of those votes went, all of the toss-up states went for Romney, he would win. His path, however, to the presidency is not as easy as Barack Obama is. Now, let me just pick up a couple of other little things here. Arizona has 11 electoral votes, and it is considered a toss-up state. That means that it's important both to the Republicans and to the Democrats. California has 55 electoral votes. It's the biggest piece of the electoral puzzle by far. New York has 29 electoral votes. It's the same size as Florida in electoral votes, and it's safely in Obama's column. So what does that mean? It means that Barack Obama and the war chest that he is putting together doesn't have to spend a dime in California or in New York. It also means, because they are safe for the Democrats, that Mitt Romney doesn't have to spend any money in California or New York either. We put Illinois in that same category for Barack Obama also. On the other hand, the second largest state is Texas. It has 38 electoral votes. It's safe for the Republicans. That means that Mitt Romney doesn't have to spend any money there, nor does Barack Obama. It, essentially, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, Tennessee are all safe, that core of the South. In the most recent electoral map, it does not have Georgia and South Carolina as safely with Republicans, and I frankly think that that's a mistake, that they absolutely are. But it means that the people in Florida are going to have a boatload of money spent. They aren't going to be able to watch a football game in the fall or any kind of TV show without seeing something that absolutely castigates Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. And those poor people in Florida are going to be absolutely sick of the presidential election. They probably already are because they had to go through it in Republican primaries so badly, you know, as after Newt Gingrich had won South Carolina and was going to look like he was going to make a real surge, and that Romney just took a bunch of money and really went after him and essentially eviscerated the former Speaker of the House. And even though he later won his home state of Georgia, he never recovered from it. All right. In all of this, I want to talk a little bit about Arizona, because Arizona, as a battleground state, is one that the president wants to win, because it, along with a couple of the other small states, even if he loses Florida, which I think he's likely to do, will still put him in the White House. So Arizona is a very big state. But there's a problem in the state of Arizona. And what do you think the problem is? Problem is that President Obama may not even be on the ballot. Excuse me. Not even on the ballot. How can the President of the United States not be on the ballot in the state? Well, this is because Arizona, along with Georgia, has challenged Barack Obama's birth certificate, saying that Hawaii has to prove that they have the record, the official record, that he was born in Hawaii as he said he was, and not that PDF that he put up on his website that really, that honestly has some problems with it. So, less than 2 hours ago, this issue came up. It makes headlines, and in ways that Barack Obama does not want it to. The latest, Arizona's top election official is trying to explain why he's trying to verify that the birth certificate of Obama. Secretary of State Kenneth Bennett. Now, let me just explain something to you. When you say Secretary of State, everybody thinks of Hillary Clinton, that she's the Secretary of State of the United States, and she is in charge of foreign policy, essentially, along with the National Security Advisors and some others for President Obama. Each state, however, has its own Secretary of State, and they are in charge of elections and of ballots and of qualifying candidates. Now, in Arizona, which has had a bloody mess with the president, there is all kinds of trouble brewing. And essentially, they're asking some questions, and they're not getting the answers. So, Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett, a Republican who wants to be governor after Jan Brewer is no longer able to run in 2014, although he says he is not a birther. Those who believe that President Obama was not born legitimately in the United States, he still has questions. Bennett told a radio interviewer yesterday that it was possible that Obama would be left off of the ballot in Arizona unless the issue is resolved. Now, remember, this is a battleground state. This is one that President Obama and Mitt Romney are fighting for tooth and nail. It's got 11 electoral votes. That makes it a sizable state. You have to have 270. 11 is a big number. So what's happening? This guy said, first, and I'm quoting Ken Bennett, the Republican Secretary of State for the state of Arizona, that first, I've been on the record since 2009 that I believe the president was born in Hawaii. I am not a birther. But, he added, at the request of a constituent, I have asked the state of Hawaii for a verification in lieu of certified copy. We're merely asking them to officially confirm they have the president's birth certificate in their possession and are awaiting their response. So far, it hasn't come. Why is that? Why is this such a problem? Why does this continue to be such a problem? Why is it that there isn't just an easy answer? I was born in Des Moines, Iowa. I have my birth certificate. If somebody wanted to know, I could give it to them. The actual copy. It wouldn't take me 1 minute to find it, pull it out, and have it available. Why is this such a problem? Why is this not going away? And even more than that, why can't those who believe that Barack Obama was born in Kenya come up with a definitive answer? Why, with all of the electronic things available on the internet, everything in the world available at your fingertips, why is it that this remains a problem? Why is it that there's no answer that's definitive, that just put this thing to rest? I'd like to know the answer to that. I'm sure many others would. The people who suspect Barack Obama was born in Kenya is just a hair over a quarter of the population. That means three-quarters of the people think that that quarter is conspiratorial and kind of loony. Is that true? I have a couple of things that I have thought about that I would like to just mention here. Okay, we have this posted birth certificate that is, I don't know whether Barack Obama was born in Hawaii or whether he was born in Kenya. I don't have a clue. But what I do know is that the birth certificate that he has posted isn't accurate, that it is a put-together, layered PDF and not just a scanned document. Someone put that together the way it is. There are numerous things to indicate that that's true, and really they didn't even do a good job of it. So the question remains. Now, if Barack Obama was born in Kenya, as many people suggest that he was, what are the chances that someone could take a look at his mother, Ann Dunham's, passport? If she was in Kenya during the time that Barack Hussein Obama was born, then that is where he was born. She's his mother. Where she was is where he was born. What about medicines that were used, prescriptions for her? What about these things would be records that would be available either in Hawaii or in Kenya? What about airplane records? Had she traveled to Kenya? Can those be found? If I were Mitt Romney or someone who wanted Barack Obama out badly, I would spend the resources to investigate his mother, who's been been dead for 15 years now, or 17. But with the simple reason, not to disparage her in any way, but to just find out where she was. It's the one thing that we know for absolute sure. If a mom is in Georgia and she goes into labor, that's where she's going to have her baby. If she is in Nairobi and she goes into labor, that's where she's going to have her baby. If she's in Honolulu and goes into labor, that's where she's going to have her baby. There is no doubt about it. That is what happens. Why can we, as a nation, not get an answer to something like this when it is so important? Frankly, I hope that President Obama was born as he said he was. In Hawaii, we do not need another constitutional crisis similar to the one that we had when President Nixon went through the Watergate scandal and was forced to resign. Nor do we need another one like the end of the Clinton administration when he was impeached and came close to being convicted and thrown out of the presidency. I think it's interesting also that President Clinton has had such a resurgence of popularity after the Lewinsky scandals, don't you? Also, interestingly, President Nixon, by the time that Reagan got into office, had also experienced a similar resurgence in popularity. And just as a personal note, I remember in the 1982 congressional races, midterm elections, I was working for a candidate, and we actually had Richard Nixon come to Atlanta and have a private foreign policy briefing for $500 a couple at the Cherokee Town Country Club on West Paces Ferry Road. I was in charge of it, and it was a magnificent affair. And I listened to President Nixon. I was finishing a PhD program at Emory at the time, and was used to some extremely bright people about politics because I was in international politics and political philosophy. The questions asked of President Nixon and answered by him were extraordinary. He was a brilliant, brilliant man, deeply flawed, but brilliant. I think the same thing could be said of President Clinton and his resurgence in popularity at the same time. All of that happening. Now, what else is going on in the news? The debt meter has us right now at $15.735 trillion in debt. That's rounded up to $16 trillion. And what has President Obama done in the last week? He has asked that the debt ceiling be raised once again, and the Republicans in the House of Representatives are being made to look like, oh, aren't they terrible people for not wanting to raise the debt ceiling again irresponsibly without having cuts in what is happening. You got to cut where you're spending. You can't just keep going to the well for money that isn't there. We can't sustain it. And 51% of the people in America, according to the Gallup poll, believe, yes, indeed, we are going to go bankrupt. That, along with the downgrading of our credit, which you can easily see why, just think of it right now. If you're listening to this program and you think of all the debt that you have for your car, for personal credit cards, for the house maybe that you're buying, and you take that total number and then add $50,000 to it. If you're a dad and you have two kids, then you can put $50,000 on each of them also, also for your wife. So that your total indebtedness, if your wife is a stay-at-home mother, let's say you owe $200,000 on your house and, you know, with the car and everything else, it brings it up to $225,000. You say, well, with the job I've got, and this is what I'm doing, that's manageable. Now, you put $50,000 for the two kids and your wife and you together with that, that's $425,000. And guess what? That real money, that has to be paid. How can you do it? Could you write a check? No. If you can't write a check for it, you're technically bankrupt. We're all bankrupt. We're all in this boat together. And we keep getting all of these television stories and commentators talk about the war on women. There's no war on women by the Republicans. They're talking about, it isn't fair that we don't do this, and the whole issue of gay marriage is dominating the news waves. While it's important, and I'll grant you it's important, it pales in insignificance compared to the looming debt crisis. Now, Jack, how do we get out of this? How do we get back to even? The answer is simple. Stop all the regulations for business that are keeping them from creating new jobs and from working effectively. You drill now, drill, baby, drill. Take our own oil and use it. We have a Department of Energy. Do you know when the Department of Energy was created? It was created in 1977 by Jimmy Carter to make us energy independent. At that time, 70% of the oil came from the U.S., 30% from abroad. That's exactly flip-flop. We now get 70% abroad and 30% here, and we still have a Department of Energy that just wastes money and does absolutely nothing. You do those two things, and you stop wasteful spending, and we can turn it the other direction. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to have the answers to the questions that I have asked? Are we willing to stand up and be counted and bring America back to where she was? Or are we going to simply, like other great civilizations, fade into obscurity? And if you're a Christian, just hope and pray for the rapture, knowing that America is not part of the end times. And abdicate your responsibility by not doing what you're supposed to do. Are we going to do it? Are we going to stand up? I hope so. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you so much for listening.